Today's daf is daf lamet vav. So we got to 10 lines down to the two dots. Is that good for you, Andy? 10 lines down?
On lamet vav?
Yeah. Two dots. The Eidim chos min al haget mipnei tikun ha'olam.
Vav and aleph. 10 lines down. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so the halacha was that in the Mishnah told us, I think it was Rabbi Gamliel, if not him, it was the Mishnah itself, that told us that they made a takana that the Edom should sign on the get because of Tikkun Olam. So Gemara wants to know, what's the Tikkun Olam? If not Tikkun Olam, because the only Tikkun Olam, it's a din deraisa, who? Dichsi v'chasa b'sefer v'chasam. It's not really a din deraisa, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, but still it's close enough, it's Nevi'im, Divrei Kabbalah. So therefore, it's a din deraisa, it's not because of Tikkun Olam. You're always supposed to sign on the shtar, v'chasa b'sefer v'chasam. This pasuk is referring to shtaros in general, but included in shtaros is, of course, Gittin. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says Tikkun Olam? So Amar Rabba lo tzricha l'Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, d'Amar Edim Mesir Karsu. Now, it's according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who holds, when it comes to Gittin, that the Edim that are going to be Koveh, the get, is the ones who witness the Mesira, but you don't require Edei Chasima. So within the world of Rabbi Elazar, they were Takina Rabbanon Edei Chasima p'nei Tikkun Olam. So he said, even for Rabbi Elazar, who thinks in the highest level you don't need Edim to sign, the Chacham felt that it was necessary to require an Edim to sign. Why? Because the Zimnan de Maisi Sadi, sometimes the Edim are going to die, the ones who did Edim Mesir, and there's no one to testify that they saw the get being given over. But once someone signed in the document, so that's something that will never, I could get lost, but even if they die, the signatures are there. Inami. Alternatively, the Zimnan de Azli de Medina Sayam, maybe the Edim are going to go overseas, somewhere where you can't find them, but if you have the signatures on the shtar, on the get, that's going to serve as proof. So therefore, even in the world of Rabbi Elazar, it was necessary, at least on a Dirabana level, for the protection of the Isha, to have Edei Chasima. And that's the first suggestion, the Gemara, that's the Rabbah. Comes along Rav Yosef, they're always the Baal Pluxas, Rav Yosef and Rabbah are always arguing with each other. Rav Yosef Amar, Filu Temel Rabbi Meir, even in the world of Rabbi Meir, who holds in general the Edei Chasima Karsi, that it's the Chasimim, so Chosman, who are being kover the get. So there's no need for takana. That's a din deraisa that the Edim have to sign the get. So even in his world, there's such an idea of a takana. Why? Hiskinu sheyuhu Edim mefarshim shmosayin begitin b'pnei tikkun olam. That the Edim were required to explain or to write out their name. What else were they? What does that mean, write out their name? Isn't that what Rav Meir holds in general? So no, look at this gebraisa here. B'pnei tikkun olam, kitatanya berishona initially, hayakosav, ani ploni chasamti es eid. So, im kasu yad ksav yad yosim makam acher, kasher, vimla apostle. So a little bit of a gear change here. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, around 8 lines down, it says, mefarshi shmosein ruven oshima. They say their name. Mekara lo hayu chosmen el ani ploni. Chasamti aid v'lo haya nokva shmo. They wouldn't write the name. They write ploni. I always thought when you say the word ploni, it means you fill in a blank. Ruven, Yoni, whatever the name is. But they write ploni, pei lam revav nun yud aid. Which is a very interesting way of signing the name. So it came along the Takana and said, it's better to sign your actual name, what you're called by, Ruven, in order to have things clear. And Rashi explains the next Rashi. Kedetanya im haya kasav ksav yado yotzim imakam acher kasher. Since he didn't explain who he was, he just said, I'm Ploni. They didn't know how to find the proper people to match your signature. And no one knows who we're looking for. To find other documents that you can match up the Staros, to just match up other documents that have already been validated in Bezdin with matching signatures. So therefore, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, next Rashi says, Shemach Shisparshu Shmosam. Now after they know who the author, who wrote, whose signature this was, Yichazu Acha Yodeim, after the ones who know Ruven, who knows Shimon, Umakirin Lahayid Aksav Yadan. And what's interesting still is, according to this Takana, the Rajba understands that all you have to do is write Ruven. You don't have to say Ruven ben Yaakov. Just Ruven alone is enough. Now you imagine there are many Ruvens throughout. So that's what the Brisa says. Nowadays we write Ruven ben Yaakov. We write the full name to make it even clearer to find out who the person is. But at least according to, in this Takana, writing Ruven was a much greater Takana than writing no name. So it was at least a step up than what was before. But certainly Ruven ben Yaakov would be a clear way of finding out who signed the shtar. Okay, the Gemara now continues and says, Amar Rabbi Gamliel. Takana gadola hiskinu shehu mefarshin shmosein begin mipnei tikkun olam. There's a big, big takana. So again, the first part of the Brayso was saying, initially they just wrote, ani ploni chathamti, I'm just ploni. They didn't say who it was, and they matched signatures. And then came along Rabbi Gamliel to say, they made a takana gadola to explain who they were, right? Their name, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Gemara says, wait a second, does it mean they anyone who signed had to write their names out full? But if a siman wouldn't work, you ever get one of the my signatures like this now, but like the basketball signatures, they just write like a little, you know, scribble, whatever it is, a big O, whatever the names are. So they write these, so a siman doesn't work. You have to write your whole name out. I don't have patience to write every single letter. I just do a Y and an L and I'm done. Sounds like from the Gemara, siman wouldn't work. You need a full name. So siman alo doesn't work out. V'harav tsayer kur. Rav, apparently, would sign his name as a fish. A little fish, you know. We had this game, we played this game with my kids. It's Beat the Parents, I think it's called. Something like that.
Wonderful game,
right?
Official game.
Yeah, it's an official game. Yeah, you ask who knows each other best. You ask questions. So like the question is: so there's like two sides of the card. So it goes like: if you have to ask a question and you answer the question to yourself, and the kids have to see if they got it right. So like one of the questions we played the other night, Friday night, it was which picture is easiest for you to draw. A fish, a cat, or a dog? Which one's easier? So I said a fish. So they guessed the right, the fish was easiest to make. The fish is very easy, go like that, and you make a little fish like that. A dog and cat are a little more complicated. So that was the way that he had signed his name. That, who was this? Rav would sign his name with a fish. And the reason why for fish, they point out, is because the fish is protected from Ein Hara. Rabbi Chanina Tzayer Charusa, he would make a dekel tree. Rashi's Anav Shel Dekel. And the Farshim explained because a dekel tree, tadik katamar, tadik is like a tamar, like a date tree. So that's why he'd sign as a date branch. Rav Chista Samech, I guess the Samech would be because the Chista has a Samech in his name, and maybe it's something deeper to the Samech. Rav Hoshaya Ayin, he would write an Ayin as his signature. Rabba Bar Rav Huna Tzair Makosa, but to Makosa, Vilon Svina, make a picture of a, what do they call it, of the boat, a little post that.
Yeah, it is a sail.
A sail.
Talking about the mast.
Okay, mast. Okay, so the sail and mast.
Right, maybe, probably both.
Okay, both. So what?
I don't know,
okay, it's at that pole. It stands up. The sail hangs off of. I think.
So Shai had an iron, so people would know to put the iron in his name, because otherwise.
They would miss
might
it.
Not realize it.
That's what it says. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Okay. So otherwise you'd think Hoshai with that. Okay. So either way, they have these unique simanim of signing their name, a letter, a picture. So, but we said above that the takana was, and this takana existed before the Amoraim were alive even, that you have to write the full name. So the Gemara says, Shiny Rabbanan de Bikin Simanayo Meikara. Simanayo. The Rabbanan were different because everyone knew their signatures. So Gemara asked, wait a second, Meikara b'mayafkinu. But wait a second, before they write the signature, who knew? Well, the first time that Rav Chista wrote the Samech, Roshai knew the Ayin, well, nobody knew who they were. No one knew the signature, so that doesn't really work out. How do you create such a reputation? So Gemara says, Bidiska. What's Bidiska? So it says Rashi, Bidiska is Shtari Shailas V'Tshuvos V'Shlobos. They would send letters, they would answer Tshuvos, Shailas and Tshuvos. They'd sign the name off there. So then people would know, oh, the Ayin represents Rav Hoshaya, and the Samech is Rav Chista, and that fish, it's Rav, and so on and so forth. So when it comes to people who are certain Bekim and certain Talmid Chachamim, then they could get away with a certain Simim. But other than them, you have to write your full name out, so they could find out who is the one behind the signature. Gemara now goes to another part of the Mishnah, Hillel Hiskin Prizbal. We know, and from the Mishnah, the Hillel made a Prizbal. So Gemara wants to know, Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us over there, the Mishnah appears in Maseches Shvi'is, the last parak, the 10th parak of Shvi'is. It talks about Shmitas Ksafim, the idea that the end of Shemitah year, it ends, it cancels out all outstanding loans. So the Mishnah says, Prizbal Eina Meshamet, Prizbal does not allow Shemitah to be Meshamet, to remove the loans. It retains, it protects the loans. And this is one of the few things, or many things, that Hillel was misakin. Why? What was the motivation for this, Takana? He saw that people were beginning to refuse from lending money. And they violated an Issa deraisa that appears in Parsha's Re'eh. The Pasuk says, I'm going to read the whole Pasuk on the side here. Protect yourself from this thing. Lamar karva shnasa sheva shnasa shmita. When the shmita year comes forward, approaches, v'ra einecha b'achicha, and you see evil in the eyes of your brother, ha'evyon, the poor one, v'lo titein lo, v'kar lecha l'ashem v'haya v'chachay. The evyon, the very poor individual, needs money, and you refuse to lend him money, it becomes a sin, Hashem's going to go after you. So there's a mitzvah to lend money, and there's an issa d'oraisa to refuse lending money. It's a real serious thing. Economies can't exist if there's no one lending money. So he started to observe that the individuals stopped lending money because they weren't getting paid back. They were waiting until Shemitah, and then the loans were canceled, and then they were losing out, the wealthy banks. So therefore, what did he do? So the Gemara explains that Amad v'hiskin prizbol, he created this prizbol to circumvent Shemitah Ksafim. V'zehu gufo sheprizbol. The text of the prizbol is as follows. Mosrini lachem ploni. I'm giving to you ploni dayanim, the following dayanim. Shebemakom ploni, that exists in this place in Woodmere, for example. Shekochov sheyeshli, any outstanding obligation that I have, eta ploni, that so-and-so owes me. Shekvendo kozman sheyirta, I will be able to collect whenever I want. V'adayanim chosmin lamate o ha'edim, either the witnesses or the dayanim signed below. Now this text, the Gemara goes against something we saw earlier. Who is the one that's collecting? The pashtus of this text here is that she'agvenu, that I will collect. We saw elsewhere that Bezdin will collect on my behalf. So this is part of the discussion. What the text is, what exactly the mechanism is, that's a big sugya. Right, you see that when Rashi already changes the girsa, at least the understanding of the girsa, Rashi says, Mosreni lachem, I'm giving over to you the beisdin, es sharosai, my sharos, shatem to nogsim, that you're the ones who are going to press and to collect money from the borrower. Vani lo egos, but I won't do it. So that's the din. So Gemara says now, it doesn't make any sense. How is this true that that midiraisa, it says when Shemitah comes, it ends the loan. And Chachamim could come along and say it doesn't end the loan. How could it be Oker Davar Min HaTorah? They have no right to uproot a din deraisa. So Amar Abaye explains, Bishvis Bizman Hazeh, the Rebbe. We're talking about Shvis Bizman Hazeh, which according to Rebbe, as we'll see in just a moment, is only a mitzvah derabanan, so they can be Oker another derabanan. How do we know that Rebbe holds that Bizman Hazeh, Shemitah is only derabanan? Ditanya, Rebbe Omer, Zeh Davar Shemitah Shemot. This is the Shemitah that removes. So what's Lashon of Shemitah Shamet, double Lashon? Shtei Shemitah Sakasa Medabri, the two types of Shemitahs. Shemitah Acha Shemitah's Karka, Acha Shemitah's Ksafim. One is where the Shemitah of the land, they have to leave it aside, which is a big Machlokas we showed him, is that, that's definitely the right side, I meant the other one, Machlokas, the Acha Shemitah's Ksafim, of the ending of the loan. So he says that these two are connected. Vizman Shata Mishamet Karka, Ata Mishamet Ksafim. When there is a Din Deraisa of Shemitah's Karka, then the Shemitah Ksafim are connected as also a din deraisa. Bizman she'iyata mishamit karka, iyata mishamit ksafim. But in a situation, bizman hazeh, we'll see in Rashi why bizman hazeh, that's only din derabanan, but since bizman hazeh, Shemitah karka is only din derabanan, so to Shemitah Ksafim is only a din derabanan. And since bizman hazeh, Shemitah Ksafim is only din derabanan, the Takan of Hill is able to uproot that and create this prizbol to circumvent the other din derabanan. So how do we know Bizman HaZed, they didn't explain, how do we know Bizman HaZed that Shemitah is only Dir Banan? So Rashi explains that Bizman Shiyata Mishamit Karka, five lines from the bottom, Kigon Achshav Shibbat La Kedusha Saretz, there's no longer Kedusha, we left the land, the Kedusha does not exist anymore in Eretz Yisrael according to Rabbi, and therefore there's no Shemitah's Karka, and through that there's no Shemitah's Ksafim either.
Previous Rashi also looked at the Yovel.
He talks about Yovel as well, exactly. They're very much connected. So they ask, we'll see the next page, they ask, they're very much connected, so why do they only make a takana for Shemitah, but not make a takana that this should also be Yovel Bizman Hazeh? Right, so let's read that Rashi made as well. Rashi writes, B'shvi'is Bizman Hazeh, around 15 lines up from the bottom, V'hilal Karebi Svirle, Damar Shvi'is Lehashmatas Milva Bizman Hazeh Dirabananu. Nowadays it's only Dirabanan. V'yafa Gav Dehil B'Bai Sheni Hava, he lived in Bai Sheni. So what do you mean? Wasn't the Beis HaMikdash there? And there's Kedushas Haaretz. So how could he make a Takana? There was Kedushas Haaretz during his time. Svir Leila Abai, the Bebai Sheni, Ho, V'lo Haya Yovel Noeg, Lo Nagu Shmita Midiraisa. Nope. Since they were not practicing Yovel, they lost the count of Yovel. Mimela, they can't count Shmita. Shmita only exists when there's also the Yovel after every 49 years.
How long those two. Only for make the first, like 78 or
I don't know exactly. I think Bai Shrishan. I don't know. It must be during the Gullus. The 70 years in Babel that they lost the Masara. I don't know. The Gemara's in Erechin talk about this. He goes on to explain the Gemara. Erechin. Okay. Fine. So that's what he said. Bizman hazeh, Shemitah, both Bekarka and Biksafim are only a Din Dirbanan. That's why Hillel was able to make such a Takana Prisbal, because it's only Bizman hazeh, Midirbanan. It sounds like El Asid Lavo, when we will have a Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Ksafim Midiraisa, then this Prisbal would no longer exist. Because then he couldn't uproot the Din Dirbanan of Shemitah's Ksafim. So Gemara says now, okay. So Shemitah's Ksafim, rather, so if Shemitah doesn't exist, so let's just let the land work through the land. Why do you have any concept of Shemitah b'derabanan? So says the Gemara on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, v'takinu rabanan d'tishamei d'eich l'shvius. So they wanted to remember and not forget the din of Shemitah d'raisa. So they instituted a Shemitah m'derabanan. We're going to be practicing Shemitah m'derabanan, both b'karka and both b'ksafim. And there, the Gemara continues to explain the whole events. Now he saw that they were holding back. They weren't lending money to each other. Very, very bad for the economy. And therefore he instituted the Prisbal to circumvent the Shemitah Ksafim of the Rabbanim. So this is where Rashi asks, now, rather Tosos asks, Dibra Mascha v'takin Rabbanan t'shamed zeichel l'shvi'ez v'hadu lo takin nami Yovel zeichel Yovel. Shouldn't they also make a remembrance for Yovel? Mishum dein rov tziba yichalun la'amar ba. People can't handle Yovel. Why? Le'aser ba'avodetz karka sh'ina shanam r'tzufos. By the 49th year of Shemitah, year 50 is Yovel. That's 2 years back-to-back of no working the land. That's very, very difficult. So Chachamim, the Torah could certainly make such a din. Chachamim could make a din because it's a gezera that the tzibur cannot hold by. And, okay, the Gemara now says, three lines from the top of Amud Beis, Mi'ika midah d'deraisa lo meshamet shvis v'takini rabbanan d'teshamet. Wait a second. Gives the Chacham the power in the first place to create Shemitah Midirbanim. Right now, on a Deraisa level, according to Rebbe, there's no Shemitah anymore. There's no Kedushas Aretz, so therefore there's no Shemitah. And which means is that any money I lend, I could always collect the money. Nothing's going to wipe out my loan. So how could the Chacham come along and say that it is Mishamed? They could undo it and say it will. How could they create something that doesn't exist? So says the Gemara, Rashi says even further than that, it's not only creating something that doesn't exist. Rashi says, "V'amar Rabbanan t'shamei," three lines from the top, "V'nimsa halova gazan alpiem." He's stealing because the lova is not paying back his debt. He, in essence, is stealing with the rishus of Bezdin. How could they do that? How could they allow for gzela? So the Gemara says, "Amar Abai shevi v'al tasehu." This is shevi al tasehu. It's a passive act. They can't be oker davar min haTorah, or they can't create gzela in an active way, but in a passive way, they're allowed to. How is this a shevi al tasehu? Says Rashi, Shevi al Taseh, Halov Hazeh, Shevi Batel. The borrower sits and doesn't do anything. Veino Oseh HaMitzvah LePoreh HaChovah. He doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara in Ksubas says that there's a mitzvah to be Poreh HaChov. He doesn't do that mitzvah. Velo Akal LeBiadayim. He doesn't uproot it with some type of action. V'chiyai Gavne, Rashi explains, Mutil Akor Davim Min HaTorah. They're able to uproot a Din D'Raisa, Kigon Shofar Velula V'Domein, B'Yivamos B'Hayish Rabba, Delo Akir B'Yadayim Hi. Ah, don't we have the din of shofar and Rosh Hashanah and lulav and sukkah that you're supposed to do it even if they fall out on Shabbos? And Chachamim tell us in a few places that their goes are not to carry the lulav on Shabbos and not to blow the shofar on Shabbos because it's going to, in the Megillah also on Shabbos, because it's going to leave Shema Yehalech Abra Amos B'Rei Rishus Rabim. You're going to walk and carry it for 4 amos in Rishus Rabim and violate it in their Isa. So how are they able to oker a mitzvah min haTorah? By saying sit and don't do anything, that's okay. So here too, they said sit and don't pay back the loan, that's okay. Shevi al taseh, they're able to be oker daver min haTorah. That's the understanding of the Abaye. Then Rav Amar, no, a completely different concept. Hefker based in Hefker. No, they have full rights when it comes to all dine mamonis. They could uproot the dinim and establish. Well, let's look at the psukim. Now we're reading Rashi in a second. D'tanya, D'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, rather, minayin shehefker basin hefker. How do I know that basin has the right to be mafker any property that they want? Shenemar, the pasuk says, this pasuk appears in Israel, v'chol asher lo yavo l'shosh shayamim, ka'atas asarim. Those who don't come in the next 3 days, based on the advice of the ministers, Rashi says this refers to the Knesset Gedolah, Hazakenim, Yecharim Koruchusha, all his property will be considered a hefker. So we see, I don't know the context here of Ezra, but the context here, if anyone who doesn't listen, they have full rights to be mafker person's property. So they have such a koach of hefker based in hefker. The second opinion, continuing in the Gemara, rather, the possible who Yivadil Mikal Hagola, and he's going to be separate from the rest of the community in the diaspora. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Mihacha, he brings another source that they have the power of Hefker. Eilah Nachlos Asher Nachlu Elazar HaKohen VYoshua Ben Nun. These are the properties that Elazar and Yeshua together had passed on. V'Rashi Avos, and the heads of the fathers. So the Gomer. The Gomer asks, V'chima'in in Rashim Eita Avos? What do you mean Rashi Avos? Rosh is a head, Av is a father. What's the connection of a head and a father? Lomer Lecha, to tell you, Ma'avos Manchilin Es B'neim Kol Asher Yirtzu. Just like fathers, when they die, they're Morish, they're Manchil, the Yerusha, they're Makne, the Yerusha, to their children. Af Rashim Manchilim Ha'am Kol Asher Yirtzu. So to the heads of the nation, the leaders, the Dayanim, the Sanhedrin, have the right to be Manchil, the Bezin has the right to be Manchil, to the nation, whatever they want. So two different psukim, that Bezin has the right to be mafkir property. I think it's the Rashba here that points out that there is a big machlokas of nafkamina between these two different psukim. It's found in the Achronim as well. When we say hefker, what's the nature of hefker? Hefker is simply a silik. When I'm mafkir my property, am I removing my rishus and now it's completely ownerless? Or is mafkir being makne? I'm actually giving over to whoever gets it next. I'm handing it over to him. Who I don't know who's going to get it yet, but it's my being makne over to the next person. So again, I think it's the Rashba, if not him, one of the others, shown to point out, this machlokas is totally on the two different psukim. If you say it's idea of the first one, where you're machrim, and machrim makes it into chayrim, untouchable, that is din of siluk. But the second pasuk that compares it to be manchil, that's a lashon of hakna, the father's being machne to his children, that shows that hefker base, and hefker has a greater koach to be machne, not simply a siluk to remove, relinquish rights, but to being giving over to help someone acquire the property. That's an afkamina between these two different pesukim. So now Rava explains, look at the Rashi rather. Rashi says, so Rava, who explains the koach of Bezdin here, is because of Hefker based in Hefker. So Rashi explains, Rava Amar Liolam Bein Rabbanan de Peliga de Rebbe, Vamar Shvis Lahashmadas Milva Bismanaze de Raisa, Vitikin Hilo de Lo Tishamet, Bein the Rebbe Damar La de Raisa, Omer Rabbanan de Shamet Lo Tikshe Davar. Okay, very, very interesting point here. So according to the passage of the Gemara here, the Gemara is explaining why Rebbe, again, in Rebbe's world, Shmidas Dirabanan, and they said still there's no longer collecting money because they could apply the din of, no, he created a principle that it won't uproot, that the Shmidas Ksafim Dirabanan won't cancel out any of the loans. All on a Dirabanan level. So Rashi explained, certainly according to him, this the passage of the Gemara is, that's allowing them to say the loan still exists, because Hefker based in Hefker, they have rights of all the property. Rashi adds a bigger chiddush, which Tosfos argues on. He says, no, even according to the Rabbanan, who argue in Rebbe, who think that Bizman Hazeh, Shmitas Ksafim, is a din deraisa, they still have the right to say that it's not going to be Meshamit anymore. Yeah, they're right also. The Hefker based in Hefker works even on deraisa concepts. Again, Pashas the Gemara here that they only works on Dirabanan, that in the world of Rebbe, that we're only talking about Dirabanan Shvius, says Rashi, even on deraisa level, going back to the Rabbanan who argue in Rebbe that Shmita is deraisa, even that idea, Hefker based in Hefker, has full strength. So that's one point. There's a few other points that are really brought out of this Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, whether this goes back even to Dirabanan. One other point is, does a din Dirabanan, a kinin Dirabanan, have effects on Dine de Araisa, which is a big discussion in the Achronim, but they point out this Rashi might be telling that as well, whether Dine de Rabbanan can affect even Dine de Araisa. Okay, fine, let's go weiter. Gemara now asks, Ibarilu, ki hiskin hila prisbal lidare hu de takin, o dima lidare alma nami sakin. When he made the takana prisbal to protect all the banks and to allow there to be lending, did he make it takana only for his particular generation? Or he make it for generations thereafter as well. That's the shaila of the Gemara. So the mind afkamino, who cares? Live it too late. Now the question is, when he made the institution, it's going to take, it's, no one's going to end it, it's going to just continue to exist. But if he only made it for his own generation, maybe that leaves the right for another generation to just end it and call it quits. So Iyamris Ladare who to talk, and if he only made it for his own generation, Mivadinle, you could very easily just end his takana, because it wasn't meant to be for generations to come. We could also continue to upkeep such a takana, but we don't have to. But Ella Iyamris Ladare Alma Nami talking, if he said it was made for generations for to come after him. Ha ain based in Yachalavata Divre based in Khabar Elm King Gadal Himana Bikhmu Vaminin. But if he made a takana to exist for generations to come, then you're not able to uproot a previous door's takana unless you're greater than him in minyan and in chachma, which is very unlikely to be compared to Hillel and his bezdin. So this is the shiloh. So just Rashi pointed out, just to clarify, why would a person ever end such a takana? It seems like a very sound takana, a very good purpose to protect both the banks and the ones bowering. So why would you ever want to end such a takana? So says Rashi, liftule lehoshe bezin to seba bezin iachshir dore, if the door becomes a kosher door. Shelo yuhumonim milahavos levates atakana halahilo shafilu ksapruza yishamet. We have a very nice generation where they're all lending money. There's no need to protect the banks. They're really willing to trust the ones borrowing it. And if not, they're willing to forego the loans because Shemitah's ksafen kicks in. So if you have such a generation, maybe there'd be a good reason to end such a takana. So what's the psak mai? Was it for generations to come or only for his generation? So Tashma, they bring a raya, the Amar Shmuel, lo kasvin and prisbal, ela I bebedina de sura, I bebedina de narda. Shmuel had a very limited application of where prisbal could be written, either in the Bezin and Sura or the Bezin and Harda, big places of Makam Toros. Now, visaka daitach ledari alma, namisakin, if you felt the Hillel was establishing such a takana for the entire world, the Sharn Bedina Nami Lichtave, every other Bezdin should have the right, no matter where you are, no matter when you lived, everyone should have the right to write a prisbal, because this was meant for the entire world forever. So Gemara says, Dilma ki talking Hillel the Dari Alma, maybe when Hillel made such a takana, it was forever in terms of time, but could go in Bedina Didei. But the quality of a Bezdin is only if it's up to his standards that were like Hillel. So yes, it existed forever, but not every bezin could qualify to write such a prosbol. Ukrev ami reva asi the alim alafku imamona aval chulem amalo. Like Rav Ami, Rav Asi, as we know, they had the ability to uproot money. They had such a concept of hefker based on hefker. They were very strong bezin, qualified bezin. Only such batidim like them were capable of writing a prosbol, but others were not able to. But ein hachanami, it was forever. Just not anyone you want, not whoever, but forever. Okay, so Gemara attempts to bring another ayah now. Tashma, Damar Shmuel, Ha Prusbal, Ulvana de Dainahu. This concept of Prusbal was a Ulva. We'll see later on what that means exactly, but it sounds like not something very positive about one of the takanas of the Bezin. It wasn't such a good thing. Now, I Asher Chayel, Avtuli Avtulene. So, what does that mean? Rashi explains, Im Asher Chayel, Im Achsik Koach, if I had the strength, says Shmuel, Aftalini, I would have uprooted such a takana, because it's a big ulva, it's a big insult of bezin. But v'ha ein bezin yachal vata de bezin chavero, emkin gadol b'chachma b'minyan. How could he suggest that he wants to uproot it? He's not capable. He doesn't have the numbers and wisdom of Hillel. Tachikamer, what he means to say is, im aisha chayel yosem Hillel, had I been as strong, if I were to be stronger than Hillel, Aftalin, I would have liked to have canceled out such a takana. I don't have the capability, but that's what he would have liked to have done. Rav Nachman Amar, I would make it mekayme. What do you mean? How mekayme of a kai? It already is. What would you add? What he means to say, hachikamar, aim a beimilsa da'afagav del kasev kakasev dami. What he means to say is, in a situation where a person did not write a prisbal, I would consider it as if he did have a prisbal written for him. I think it's so important that we're able to give it to people, even those who didn't write a prisbal, they should also have the prisbal to protect them. So how is this supposed to be a raya about whether Hillel made this for generations to come or not to come? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Avtalinhu, Amalav Ladar Alma Talkin. It wasn't made for generations to come. The fact that he has the right to uproot it tells us that it could just be ended. And that's what Gemara says, no, it only works to make to be Mavatal if he was greater than them in Minyan Chachma Gadol and Chachma Minyan. Therefore, it was made for generations to come. Okay, no real conclusion there. Gemara now says, Ibarlu asks the following question, Hai Ulva Lishna, what does it mean when Shmuel said before that the Takana Prusa was an Ulvana de Dayana, it was an Ulvana? What does that mean? Is it Lishna de Chutzpahu or Lishna de Nichusu? Lashna Chutzpah, it was disgrace of Vezin, or is it Lashna Nichusa to give them rest? What does it mean to give them rest? Says Rashi, Lishna de Nichusa, lo aso elo lenoches hadayanam, shelo yatrichom lahagvos milvoseim lefne shvis, shelo tavo shvis tashmiteo. He only did this to give him a little bit of a break.
But before Shvi'is, the whole world will come.
Everyone's going to come to try to collect and everything like that before, and it's going to be crazy for them. So it's supposed to be a benefit for them. So it wasn't supposed to be it's a lashon of chutzpah. It was somehow a disgrace for them, or is it again a way to give them, provide them with some level of shalva? So the Gemara says Toshma Damar Ula. Ula says Aluva Kala Shizinsa Beker Chapusa. It's a disgrace for the Kala who became Mizana, or it's a disgrace that the Kala was Mizana in very close proximity to her chuppah. What is this referring to? So Rashi says, Aluva clearly in this context means chutzpah, it's a disgrace. Rashi explains, Shizinsa Bekev Chupasa, it doesn't talk about literally a husband and wife, but it's more of a mashal. Bo'od Shechina v'Yisrael b'Sinai Asos Ega, right before Kabbalah Satorah, that was the chuppah of Klai Yisrael and the Shechina, they did the Ega. Sharei lo nasu m'Sinai alachar akamas ha-Mishkan, they didn't travel to Sinai until they put up the Mishkan, b'Shan ha-Shani, the second year of leaving the tribe, k'dechsev ahi b'Shnas ha-Shani b'Chodesh ha-Shani v'Gomer. And right before the chuppah, they are mezana. They were, if you will, with the egel zahav. But we see either way clearly from this brayza, aluva means chutzpah. So Amar Rav Mary bra debas Shmuel. Mikra, what does the pasuk mean? Ad shemelch b'masebo near the nasan rechel. Right until the king gets to masebo, which refers to chuppah, into his chuppah, nasan rechel near de nasan rechel. Rashi says, near the nasan recha, busme oza recha tov. He smelled the good smell, I guess. Vlo nasan sichon esisah. He didn't make a disgrace or smell bad for them. So what does that mean? So amarava adain chavivusahu. Gavan, we're still very chaviv to Hashem, even though we built this egel zav. We're still considered, Hashem still was nasan recha. He still gave us this nice smell. Dechsiv nasan velo ksiv hisriach. He didn't make us go bad and spoil. He still gave us a nice smell. And therefore, even after the event, we have the chavivus of Hashem. We'll end with this brisa. Tanu Rabbanan, hanilvin velo ein an olvin. Person should be of those who are disgraced and not disgrace others. Be insulted and not insult others. Shomen cherpasan, hear your own insults. Ve ein mashivin, don't respond back to them. Osame ava. Do from love, a place of love, usmecham b'yisurin, you should enjoy b'simcha any troubles a person goes through. Alein akasiv omer, a person who practices life in such a way, says the pasuk that appears in Shoftim, it says, v'ohav, ohavav kitzeis ha-shemesh b'gruaso. The pasuk is a reference to those who love everything Hashem does, even though there's gvur, even though there's din, a person always loves everything Hashem does for them, and that's a way a person should really practice. Okay. Stop here. Okay, wonderful day.
I just want to understand myself. The first.